Genesis 26 on Through the Word, with a new generation and the same old story. Abraham is gone now, and we focus now on Isaac's life. Much of what we read will sound very familiar to what we read in Abraham's story. Life can be like that. Each generation in a family can be so different, but their stories have so much in common. And that can be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on the previous generation's story. We'll see a little bit of both in Genesis 26, and we'll find some good insight on things like repeating your father's mistakes and even generational curses. Let's dig in at verse 1. Now there was a famine in the land, besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and will give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Now, if you don't pay careful attention, you might say, haven't I read this part already? There's a famine, moved to Gerar, King Abimelech, God's promises. This all happened before, and it did. To Abraham. That's why in verse 1 it says a famine besides the one in Abraham's time. Isaac has his own life to live, but in some ways he's got to go back. There's a new famine, as each new generation must face its own trials and prove its own faith. And more importantly, the Lord appears to Isaac. He repeats the very same promises made to his father: land, descendants, and the blessing for all nations. In every generation, God must renew his promises and show himself faithful once again. These promises are monumental. They are eternal. God is confirming the covenant of Abraham. The rest of the Bible and the plan for all humanity rest on this, and God makes sure that the next generation knows them well and knows them personally. Then next up is another repeat, only this one is not so good. Let's read at verse 6. So Isaac settled in Gerar. When the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister," for he feared to say, "my wife," thinking, "lest the men of the place should kill me because of Rebekah," because she was attractive in appearance. So Rebekah is a beauty, and Isaac lies to prevent getting killed by jealous men. And we have some serious deja vu here. Isn't this the same mistake that Isaac's father made? Twice. And this one is in the same place even, Gerar, with King Abimelech. Though this is likely the son of the previous king, since they often kept the same name. Well, like father, like son. And let this be a warning to dads. Your kids will copy what you do, no matter how foolish. Now this story, however, is resolved a little quicker than the last one. Abimelech looks out his window and catches Isaac and Rebekah in a PDA, and he puts an end to all their shenanigans. But this story brings up a deeper question. Are we doomed to repeat our father's mistakes? Let me tell you my story. My father was a man that I respect very much. There's so much about him that I try to emulate. But my dad had his faults, too, and there are some that I do not want to repeat. My father loved me, and I knew it, and I choose to pass that on to my kids. But I am not doomed to repeat my father's mistakes. Yes, our parents' lives affect us deeply, success and failure, strength and fault. And I don't know your story or your parents. You may stumble along the same path, but it is your choice whether to stay on it. The Bible does not validate the idea of a generational curse, and if you wrestle with this issue, I would encourage you to check out Ezekiel 18, which is a phenomenal chapter where God makes it clear that he deals with every generation individually. The story moves on, and in verse 12, "And Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him, and the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy." So even after Isaac's foolish mistake, he is blessed. God kept his promise of blessing from back in verse 3, which also goes all the way back to Isaac's father. Which makes you think again, back on that generational curse idea. Yes, Isaac had a common weakness with his dad. Whether it was DNA or bad example, he messed up just the same. But if anything, what we see here from God is a generational blessing, and that is much more the nature of our Lord. Listen to what God says in Deuteronomy 5:9, here amidst the second commandment. "I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Now, the first part of that verse is a tough one. God visits the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Now, this is challenging, but that phrase can be understood and interpreted in two different ways. It could mean that God punishes the kids for dad's mistake, like a generational curse. But God vehemently argues against that in Ezekiel 18. So what else could it mean? It says God visits, as in, God knows that your father's sin will affect your life with serious consequences. But God visits. He keeps coming back, generation after next, to show a way out. And the heart of the verse is the second part. God shows steadfast love to thousands of generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. God is drawing a striking contrast between the three or four generations affected by those who hate God and the thousands of generations that he blesses for the sake of the one who loves him. Isaac was blessed abundantly because his dad loved and obeyed God. Now, even blessings come with challenges in this world, especially when envy creeps in. The Philistines were nearby, and they started to covet Isaac's wealth. The Philistines started plugging up Isaac's water wells just for spite. But Isaac moved on into more open spaces, and there God met him in verse 24. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you and multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake. So there it is. God said to Isaac, I am with you. I believe that is the greatest of all encouragements. Think about that little phrase. When you're a kid and afraid, do you want dad to say, everything's going to be okay, or I'll be here with you? When you're going through a rough time, which friend is closer, one who sends help from a distance or one who goes through it with you? Our God does make things okay, and he does send help, but most importantly, our God is with us. Isaac responds in verse 25, So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. And there in that one verse you have the three marks of Isaac's life. Like his father before him, Isaac was marked by tents, wells, and altars. The tent showed that Isaac was a pilgrim, a stranger and alien on this earth. The well was a marking of a life watered with the blessings of God, and the altar showed a life sacrificed to God. For you and I, our tent is this body, as we are pilgrims passing through. Our well is the living water of the Holy Spirit and the cleansing water of God's Word. And our altar is the cross of Jesus Christ. We are crucified with him, a life given wholly to the Lord.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.